Thank you, Brad. Thank you, everyone, for coming to my presentation. It's a pleasure to be here. I'll be talking about green dry cleaning and specifically on occupational exposures to two of the new dry cleaning solvents. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors, Emily Lee from NIOSH, and also Steve Whitaker from the Local Hazardous Waste Management Program in King County, Washington State. Without his work, this could not have been possible. And he's in the audience right now. So it is estimated that we have at least 36,000 dry cleaning shops in the United States. They're mostly small businesses, owner-operated, very few employees. And if you have been to a dry cleaning shop in the last few years, you would recognize that many of them have limited English, as many of them are immigrantly owned, a lot of foreign-born workers. Businesses may also be marginally profitable, which can be a barrier for health and safety or resources to implement changes. So just for those of you that are not as familiar with the dry cleaning process, I'll go very briefly. The garments come into the shop and are sorted, often pre-treated for stains, and then they are put into the dry clean machine that usually has washing, extraction, and drying in one step. Then often, if the spots were not removed, they would also do post-treating and sometimes re-wash, and then you have the pressing and hanging and bagging of the garments. So the main solvent used in the United States is perchloroethylene, commonly known as PERC. There's been some introduction of 1-bromopropane in the last few years, but both of them have been shown to be hazardous, both toxic to the workers and the environment. So there's been a lot of new solvents introduced into the market, and many of the shops being labeled as green. Today, we're going to be talking about high flash point hydrocarbons, which is one of the ones that is most popularly used. And then we're also going to be talking about butylol, which is not as used but is the newest of them all and the one that we know the least. Other solvents that are in the market that we won't be talking today are glycol ethers, liquid silicone, and liquid carbon dioxide. We also have wet cleaning in the market. So briefly about HF hydrocarbons, they're pretty much a naphtha that is treated so that it's not odorous. The occupational exposure limits are actually fairly high, with the most stringent German one of 300 micrograms, milligrams per cubic meter. There's no much health effects associated, but acute toxicity if it is inhaled accidentally, and irritation. As far as butylol, it's a fairly new solvent, but because it's being commercialized worldwide, they are under reach, so there are some toxicology that is now published, and nothing really comes up as very hazardous, but it's limited. The technical sheet, however, that's acknowledged that there's a potential to hydrolyze to formaldehyde in 1-butanol. So we performed 4 health hazard evaluations in 2 shops with using butylol and 2 shops using HF hydrocarbons in 2 different states in the United States, and we collected bulk samples of the solvents and performed exposure assessment to the workers doing air sampling, personal and area. For the air sampling, we sampled for butylol, butanol, and formaldehyde in the butylol shops, and then 2 HF hydrocarbons in the hydrocarbon shops. For the butylol and HF hydrocarbon, we actually worked with a chemist at NIOSH and BVNA, our contractor lab, to develop methods to analyze for those solvents, as methods were not available. And one thing to note that we found that was very interesting is that for formaldehyde, we actually tested the NIOSH method, and it gave false positives as it uses an acid reagent, and it actually generated butyllol. So we chose OSHA method to test for formaldehyde. Because butyllol doesn't have occupational exposure limits, as it's a very new solvent, we actually use control banding tools to assess some sort of risk to the exposures that we found. And we specifically tested control banding tools for two tasks, which we thought were the most potential for exposure. The first one was loading, unloading, and hanging of fabrics after dry cleaning. And then the second one was spraying and brushing fabrics with a spotting solution that contained butyllol. And for the control banding, we actually did find our phrase and reach that was irritating to the skin to this particular chemical, even though the manufacturer had not found irritation in their toxicology studies. So the shops were very typical shops, one or two owners, up to 10 employees. Some were more busy than others. All relied on natural ventilation. Only one actually had a ventilation system that was turned on when the machines were, and the dry cleaning machine was turned off. And the main languages were Korean, Cantonese, and Spanish in these shops. So we used interpretation and translation services for our evaluation. So in the butyllol shop, the actual manufacturers of the dry cleaning system recommended all these shops to mix the solvent with a surfactant and water and pre-spot and post-spot garments with it. So they were basically spraying the solvent all day long sometimes. And then this solvent is flammable, so we found that it was a safety hazard besides potential for dermal exposure. The dry cleaning machines that we witnessed were extremely new. So this is an example of an owner using a dry cleaning machine and using a surgical mask, which is not considered personal protective equipment under NIOSH. This is a typical pressing machine, and this is an iron pressing machine. So the results, we found that the highest exposures were, as expected, when workers were near the dry cleaning machine or performing pressing of garments right after being dry cleaned. As far as the concentration levels, for the hydrocarbons, we found very low levels, well below the occupational exposure limits, even the more stringent. As far as butyllol, the concentrations of solvents were very comparable to that of hydrocarbons, but we have no reference to compare to know if it's safe. But thankfully, the shops did add an acid stabilizer as the recommendation from the manufacturer, and we found that that may have helped because we didn't really measure any formaldehyde or butanol in these shops. However, we wonder in the future as the shops may be trying to cut on costs and maybe not follow instructions, if they were not to add this acid stabilizer, what would happen? Or if the machines get old or need maintenance. So that is something that is of concern going forward. So since we didn't have occupational exposure limits for butyllol to compare, the control banding tools, at least for inhalation, showed that general ventilation is definitely needed. There was a low risk. But again, we were not surprised with these results given the R phrases didn't point at any inhalation risk. As far as dermal, again, the R phrase was irritation, so not surprising the results provide a low to medium risk, suggesting controls to reduce exposures, including general ventilation and use of personal protective equipment, which agreed with our observations in the field and air sampling results. So to conclude, both solvents, the HF hydrocarbons and butyllol, are believed to be safer than PERC because neither are chlorinated hydrocarbons. And especially the HF hydrocarbon product we evaluated did not contain benzene. However, we do believe the appropriate personal protective equipment is needed when handling these solvents to minimize the skin contact in work practices, especially in the butyl off shop where spraying of the solvent is done, needs to be done properly to avoid skin exposures and safety hazards. And there are definitely gaps in the toxicology data, and there's no human health information, and hopefully eventually we would do occupational exposure limits for butyl. So we have an IOSH blog on the topic, and we have several reports out. We should be submitting a journal article very soon, and we are interested in doing evaluation with other new solvents. So if you have any shops that you're interested in working with NIOSH, please contact NIOSH. And I would like to acknowledge a long list of collaborators at NIOSH and Bureau of Veritas, University of Washington, and the different dry cleaning shops that volunteer. Thank you for your time, and if you have any questions, I may have like a minute or half a minute.
No, yeah, a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Thank you, that was great. I was just a little confused of the process. So both the high class hydrocarbons and the butyl off process are with those automated machines?
Correct.
There's also spot cleaning?
The butyl off shops are their own. You were confused about the dry cleaning machines versus the spotting in both shops. Both shops use the same exact dry cleaning machine, so that is the same with all the four shops.
And that was the hydrocarbon?
For both solvents, the dry cleaning machine is the same. For all the four shops, we went to four shops, two hydrocarbon, two butyl off. So for the butyl off shops, all the shops do spot cleaning. They just do different surfactants or solvents and different things. What was unique about the butyl off shop is that they actually put the dry cleaning solvent, the butyl off, mixed with a detergent and water in a bottle and sprayed it. Again, the HF hydrocarbon never touched the hydrocarbon to do any spot cleaning. That was the main difference. Sorry if that was not clear. I apologize.
And one other follow-up question. Did you measure benzene in the air?
We did not. We actually did GCMS for the, with detector tubes. We did a screening first to understand all the different solvents that were in the air. And then we did charcoal tubes follow-up. So we actually verified that it was not in the air. So we did both bulk analysis and air, and we verified. So with the HF hydrocarbons, the chromatograph really looked like this, with all in the C10, C12. So it was definitely verified. Yes, good question. Sorry, I don't know if we have more time. Yeah? Okay, yes. So right now, for the two new dry cleaning that I just talked about, there is really no human data. So that risk is completely uncharacterized, and measuring the exposures is the first step into going into risk assessment. So we're in baby steps before we could answer that question. But that's a great question. That's what we would like to know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Thank you very much.
Thank you.